Well, I'm so glad to see you all here this morning. This is the day that we celebrate, that we've set aside to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to say I'm so thankful to see you and your families here today. And so let me just start off by saying this. Happy Easter. And He is risen. Amen. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 16 today, verses 1 through 7. I want to talk with you today. Really, it's about the resurrection. Why would it not be about the resurrection? Amen. Why would it not be about our Lord Jesus Christ? Doesn't make sense for it to be about anything else this morning except the resurrection. And so the title of our sermon is He Lives. If you have a bulletin, turn that over on the back if you want to follow along with our points. And if you have a pencil or a pen, you can fill in there as we get to that part in the message this morning. So Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. So the death on the cross, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the death on the cross was actually the cruelest form of punishment that existed in those days. It was horrific. It was literally, it would be shocking even for that to take place today in such a way that people would hang on a cross, nails through their wrists, on their feet. They would literally suffocate as their strength would get weaker and weaker, and their body would begin to collapse upon top of their lungs, suffocating them in order that they wouldn't be able to breathe. And so when we talk about the crucifixion, when we talk about the death of Jesus Christ, I want you to know, I want you to understand that He didn't give His life by lethal injection where a few minutes later it was over. He didn't give His life by sitting in an electric chair where in just a few minutes it was over. He didn't give His life by having a noose tied around His neck. But I say this, He did hang. He hung on an old rugged cross. But praise God, today we're talking about the resurrection. And I'm standing before you today, and you are here today because you believe that He lives. And so today we're going to praise our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ because He lives. He's not dead. Our Jesus lives. He's risen. And so there are three things that I want to submit to you today. With that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint Him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed, but He said to them, "Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He isn't here. See the place where they laid Him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter that He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him as He said to you." Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, today, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before Your throne of grace and we praise You. Today we celebrate the resurrection. Lord, I pray that today would be a day where we begin to understand that the celebration of the resurrection isn't something that should be set aside for just one day of the year. But the celebration of the resurrection is something that we as Christ-following men, women, and children should celebrate every day of our lives. Father, we love You and we praise You, and we know that You sacrificed Your own Son to die on an old rugged cross on Calvary's Hill for my sins, for the sins of those who have gathered this morning, Lord, for the sins of the world. But Lord, we praise You today because 3 days later, death, hell, and the grave had been conquered when Jesus rose from the grave. And today we praise You. And we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. As you look at the text this morning, you hear the story about Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. They bought spices. They wanted to go to the tomb. They wanted to prepare the body of Jesus. He had already been brought down from the cross. He had already been placed in a tomb. The next day had come. Sunrise was here. And the ladies made their way. They wanted to prepare his body. They wanted to anoint his head with these spices. They wanted to celebrate his life. They wanted to remember him. There was a lot of doubt that had gone on during that time. They had begun to believe that if Jesus was going to die on this cross, then maybe he was just a great prophet. And there was a lot of things they didn't quite understand at this point. How was it that Jesus was going to die on the cross? He's God in the flesh. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed of God. How was it, or is it, that he was going to die on the cross? But these ladies, they were expressing their love to God. They wanted to come and they wanted to prepare his body. And then as you see, as the text goes on, it says very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the tomb and the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who's going to roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? So it was a large stone that would have been placed over the tomb. And these ladies wouldn't have had the strength to move the stone. And so they were curious, who's going to move this? And they get there and they see that it's already been done. But here's the thing is that Christ never stops working on our behalf. See, he loves it when you and I as his children express our love to him. I believe you've done that this morning as we gather ourselves together to celebrate the resurrection. But now also you have to understand that in your life as a Christ follower, a man, woman, or child, if you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen to me. He never stops working on your behalf. He's always intervening in some area, in some way or another. Why is that? Because as you express your love to him, this is God's way of expressing his love to you. And so in every area of our lives, even when we don't realize it, even when we don't experience it the way we think we should, God's always working on our behalf. And so this morning, the first thing that I submit to you as we begin to look at the scripture, at the text this morning, beginning in verse 5, I want you to see this morning. It's important that you see this, and this that Christ often sends angels to calm your fears. Christ often sends angels to calm your fears. Look at the text, if you will. Look at verses 5 in the first part of verse 6. It says this. He said, and entering the tomb, these ladies, they had entered the tomb. They saw a young man clothed with a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. So the stone had been rolled away, and they got there, they arrived, they entered into the tomb, and as they entered into the tomb, they stooped down probably just a little bit, entering into the tomb. And they saw that Jesus wasn't laying where he had lain for a night. Or for 3 days. They saw that the tomb was empty other than an angel of the Lord who sat at the foot or at the head of where Jesus lay. And so the text here tells us that it was a young man, but this is what John 20, verse 11 and 12 says. It says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had Lane. You see that past tense. He had been there, but he wasn't there anymore. And so as we enter into our lives as believers, I want you to know as we look at this, we see that God had sent his angels so that the ladies wouldn't have fear in their hearts, so that they wouldn't wonder or worry where Jesus was. Angels, actually, they're created beings. They were created by God, and they're mentioned 273 times in the Bible. Out of 66 books of the Bible, 34 books of the Bible, angels are mentioned. These messengers of God, they're mentioned as servants. They would go, and they would share the message of God. Literally, these angels, as created beings, they would stand before God, and they see him face to face. Can you imagine that? Standing face to face before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen, it's going to happen one day. Amen. And the angels are there. They're able to do that on our behalf today, but they come because Christ often sends angels to calm our fears. You know, you don't always see them with wings. Sometimes God just sends angels in the most inconspicuous ways. Sometime it might come in the form of an individual that you've never seen before. Sometime it might be someone that you're very close to that God sends to be that helping hand for you. And we see this at the birth of Jesus. An angel of the Lord, an angelos, a messenger of God appears. Luke chapter 2 verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people." God wanted to calm the fears. And then at the resurrection of Jesus, we see Matthew chapter 28, verse 5 and 6. But the angel answered and he said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And friends, today we celebrate a risen Lord. He's alive. Can you get excited about that just a little bit? Because I'm going to tell you, if you can't get excited about our Lord Jesus being raised from the dead, then there's not much on this earth that's really going to excite you. For this is where God literally moved heaven and earth on your behalf. The resurrection. And so many times in life, I want you to know that God sends his angels on your behalf. God sends his angels to work out something in your life. Maybe it's to roll a stone away, a stumbling block, something that exists. But God often sends his angels. Let me tell a story that actually happened this week, because it's a special story, and I think you will really appreciate it when I tell it. Miss Jerry, Miss Kim lost her sister. Miss Jerry lost her daughter Tuesday afternoon. Monday, she hadn't said much of anything on the early part of the day, and then she had gone all day long without really responding or talking to the family at all. Tuesday was much of the same thing, but Natalie, who is Miss Wanda's daughter, she was there and she was talking to Miss Wanda. She was cheering her mother on. Can you imagine that? She knew that she was preparing to breathe her last, and she was literally her cheerleader. She was saying, "Go on, Mama, you go on, and when you get there, you tell us, you let us know that you can see the angels." I'm telling you this as a true story that happened this past week. So sometime during Tuesday afternoon, Miss Wanda said nothing but this: "I see them." Can you imagine? Can you imagine the joy in a family's heart? Can you imagine the joy that a family experienced because Miss Wanda was able to say, "I see them"? Whether it was the angels of God, whether it was Brother Stanley who is there with Miss Wanda, whether it was Christ Jesus himself, I'm telling you something, and that's Miss Wanda heard Natalie as she cheered her on, and she heard her ask that she would let them know that they've seen the angels of God. And what happened is Miss Wanda let them know that she had seen the angels of God. And so they often send angels, God does, to calm your fears. And for Miss Jerry, for Miss Kim, for Miss Ladley, for Blake, for Herb, the angel was Miss Wanda herself, because Miss Wanda had been the one to see the angels. And that brings joy to our hearts. Why? Because we know that God's desire for us as believers, as men and women who love Jesus, is that we understand that he doesn't desire that we fear in any area of our lives. He doesn't want that. And so he wants to bring you comfort. He wants to calm your fears. And for the believers, for these disciples, for these ladies, God wanted their fears to be calmed. And the second thing that I submit to you this morning as we move on is this, that Christ's message to those who seek him. Christ has a message for you. Christ had a message for those who had gone to the empty tomb. And that is this. Are you listening to me? This is important. I want you to get this. Don't miss it. He lives. That's the message. The message is that he lives. Do you know that he's alive and he's well? I'm telling you that he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven today. He lives. King Jesus lives. Do you believe that? I don't think you would have gathered today if you didn't believe that. I think you've gathered this morning because you believe that King Jesus lives. And so Christ's message to us is, for those who seek him, is that he lives. If you will, look at the last part. of verse 6. The first part, he said this. He says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified.'" Then he said this, "He is risen. He is not here." And then the evidence was this. See the place where he had laid. Do you see it? Do you see the empty tomb? Do you see that Jesus isn't here? "As a matter of fact, God the Father sent me, this messenger, so that I could tell you, so that I could encourage you that he lives. Christ wants you to know today that he lives." And as a matter of fact, in John the Revelator, he is transported some way or another, and he's in heaven's, inside heaven's doors. He's seeing the glories of heaven. And then Jesus Christ himself in Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, this is what Jesus said. This is Jesus speaking to John the Revelator. He said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead." He said, "And behold," or pay attention to this, "I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." That's good stuff, friends. That's good stuff. I don't care who you are. That is good stuff. Jesus was informing John the Revelator. He was informing the apostle. He was informing him that, don't fear. I'm alive. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, literally is what he was saying. He says, "I am the one who was in the beginning at creation. I am the one who will be left at the end." He says, there are none before me. And he says, "I live." Death, hell, and the graves could not hold him. He lives. And so he doesn't want us to be afraid of that. He wants you to know today that as we keep, so many people, they seek after a false god that was made with the hands of man. And it was these carven images that were made of wood and made of stone. And so many people, they bow and they worship these carven images. But see, you and I, you understand today that we don't serve a carven image. We serve a risen Savior. We believe in a risen Savior whose name is Jesus. And we know that up from the grave, he arose, and that he's alive, and that he's well. And I tell you today that sin couldn't destroy him, hell couldn't keep him, and the grave couldn't hold him, because he lives. And we've sang it already, but it's this: I serve an risen Savior who's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hands of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Here's the great thing about this song, because people want to know how I know he lives. People want to know how you know Christ Jesus lives. And so here it is. He walks with me. Amen. He talks with me along life's narrow way. In every area of my life, there's never a time when my sweet King Jesus has left me or forsaken me. There's never a time in your life when King Jesus has left you or forsaken you. And sometimes you may feel that he's at a distance, but I'm telling you, that's when he is at his closest. King Jesus lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He's alive, friends. He's well. And the last thing that I submit to you this morning, I know many of you are thinking, you're already on your last point, preacher. And so the last thing that I submit to you is this. We've seen Christ's message to those who seek him is that he lives. And then this, the purpose of Christ's message. You know, there's a purpose with everything in life. Amen? We don't always understand the purpose, but there's a purpose for everything. And then so the purpose of Christ's message is this. The purpose of Christ letting you know that he lives for those who seek him. The purpose of his message today is this. That you would tell others. That's it. That's the purpose. The purpose of the message of Jesus Christ, the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the purpose of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so that you as believers would tell others. Praise God, someone told you. Praise God, someone shared with me. And so as we look at the scripture this morning in closing, look at verse 7. It says this. It says, but go. This angel was telling these ladies, go and tell the disciples. See, the disciples were close to these ladies. They had walked together. They had worshiped Christ together. They had seen and been a witness to the many miracles that Christ had performed together with the other disciples and the apostles. And they had been a witness and a testimony to this. And so the scripture says, as the angel was there to share with them a message that Christ lives, he says, now go and tell the others. And so for you, how does that apply for you today? Here it is. See, you have to understand that there was just a little bit of doubt with the disciples. Their minds were wandering. There was some hopelessness and some hurting in their hearts. Their hearts were broken and aching, and there was some sadness and some sorrow. And they needed to hear the words that He lives. And so the ladies, they were making their way. And then as the ladies were making their way, Matthew says that Jesus appeared to the ladies. And then in your Sunday school text this morning, you saw it. As the ladies were making their way to the disciples, Jesus appears to the ladies, and the ladies bow down and worship at His feet. That's exciting. Because they're on their way. They're going to tell the good news. Hey, Jesus is alive. He's well. He's not dead. The tomb, the stone had been rolled away. When we got there, there was a messenger of God that had shared with us that He lives. And so they were ready to go. Even with a little bit of fear, they were ready to go and tell the disciples that Jesus lives. And on their way, Jesus said, you know what? There's still a little bit of fear in their hearts. So I want to appear before them. I want them to see that I'm really alive. I want them to understand that the grave couldn't hold me. I want them to understand that I'm still breathing. I want them to understand that I am God in the flesh. I want them to understand this, and I don't want there to be any fear in their hearts and in their lives. And so Jesus appeared to them. And then they bowed and they worshiped. But friends, I want to tell you that same message that was delivered to the ladies is that He lives. That same message that was delivered to the disciples and the apostles, that same message that was delivered to over 500 witnesses at one time, that same message is this today. Listen to me, is that He lives, that He's alive, and that He's well. And here's the thing, you and I have people in our lives right now that are hopeless and hurting. You and I have people in our lives right now that are broken and aching. We have people in our lives right now whose hearts are filled with sadness and sorrow. And they need to hear the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They need to hear about the love that Christ has for them. They need to understand that Christ allowed Himself to hang on an old rugged cross that many, many other people had already been hung on. You have to know, you have to understand that the message today for you, for those who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, is you're that testimony and you believe that Christ lives. And because you believe that Christ lives, you are to go and to tell others that Christ lives. And so, why is the question? So you ready? Three scriptures. It's because eternity hangs in the balance. That's why. Why do we tell? Because eternity hangs in the balance. Because if people don't come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, listen to me, it doesn't matter how good old boy you are or how good old girl you are, if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, you're hell bound with a one-way ticket to hell. One-way ticket. And the only thing that can change that is this side of heaven. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, is Jesus' words. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Friends, I stand before you today telling you that God didn't make it hard, that He made it easy. That they're not a multitude of gods, there's one God. And He's alive. He's not on a totem pole. He's not a short, fat man with his legs crossed in a temple somewhere. He's alive and He's well, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Yeah. And so we worship Him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. This is what he said in Acts 4, verse 12. He said this, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Allah's not going to get you there. Buddha's not going to get you there. Confucius is just going to confuse you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name given in heaven, the scripture says, or among men by which we must be saved. It's at the name of Jesus, listen to me, that one day every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, one day every tongue shall confess. At the name of Jesus, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To God be the glory. And the last thing that I submit to you this morning is this. And in Mark 16, verse 15, this is the reason that we go and we tell. And it's because it was commanded by Christ. He said this, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To everyone who is living and breathing, you go and you tell them that King Jesus lives." And so today, I'm wrapping up. We're done, but maybe you're here this morning and you've treated this Easter like every other Easter that has been since its inception, since it was created, since Easter eggs started being hunted, since the Easter bunny started bringing presents. And it's just another day where, because of the marketing ploys of big business, you go out and you rush into their stores and you buy gifts just to give gifts. But I'm telling you, the greatest gift has been given. And so maybe you're here today and you've treated this Easter like every other Easter or every other day. It's just a holiday that we celebrate. It's just a time where we can get together with our families and enjoy a meal. It's a time where we can go and we can hunt Easter eggs because it's fun. But I'm telling you, if that's what you have seen Easter as today, my prayer is that through the Word of God, you would understand that that message is not the accurate message that Christ Jesus wants you to know about today. Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when through His blood that was shed on Calvary's hill, He rose from the grave, bringing with Him the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He rose. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. He appeared to the individuals. There are books that were written about Him. And I'm going to tell you this. Listen, there are even extra biblical books that were written about the resurrection of Jesus that aren't here. But I stand before you today and I proclaim to you that Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today you need to know, today you need to understand that King Jesus lives. To the praise, honor, and glory of God. And so as you leave today, maybe you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. It's just a day. And today you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. But today God has spoken to your hearts. Today you've felt that burden. You felt that pounding. You felt Jesus speaking to you. You understand through His Spirit that He's drawing you to Himself. And today, His greatest desire is that you would confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's His hope. That's God's desire for you, that you would accept the perfect Lamb whose blood was shed on an old rugged cross. And so today, maybe you're here, and for the first time, you've really felt or you've heard God speak to you, and you're ready to trust Jesus as your Savior. I want to share with you. I want everybody right now to just close your eyes and bow your heads. And so maybe you're here this morning, everyone's head is bowed and every eye is closed. And you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, but today you want Christ to save you from your sin and yourself. Listen to me, don't fear. People are not looking around to see if you're going to lift your hand, but today if you want to make Jesus your Savior, lift your hand so I can see that this morning. Today you want Jesus to come into your heart and to be your Lord and your Savior. Will you just lift your hand for me today? Amen. Well, if you're here and that's your prayer and that's your request, I want you to pray this prayer. It's a simple prayer. And if you mean it in your heart, I want you to know that God hears you. And so if that's you, if that's your plea today, I want you to just repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, today I thank you that I'm able to see that Jesus, that you are the Son of the living God. Just say this prayer to yourself. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, that I've messed up, that I've missed the mark. But today, I ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, and to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for me, and I believe that on the third day, God the Father raised you from the dead, that I might be saved. And today, I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Look up. If you've prayed that prayer this morning, if you've meant it in your heart, I want you to know, if you meant it, then today was the first day of the rest of your life. If you meant that prayer that you've prayed, then today literally is the day of salvation. Today is today where if you believe that prayer that you prayed, today is today, the day where your eternity is marked by God beginning to create for you a mansion in heaven. Today is that day. Write it down in your Bibles. Remember that today, that March the 31st, 2013, is the day where you confess Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. And don't forget it, because it's the most special, most wonderful day of your life. So maybe you're here today, and Easter has just been some regular day. You're coming to church today, but you know you're going to leave and you're going to go out and you're going to enter the world and it's going to be like every other day. Listen to me, believers. Don't let it be so. Today, we're going to have an altar call just before we participate in the Lord's Supper. I'm going to keep you for about 15 more minutes. That's it. So today, as we prepare to participate in the Lord's Supper, listen, if you need to come and you need to bow at the foot of the cross and you just need to pray, you need to cry out to God, whatever you need to do, if you need to just say, Lord, forgive me where I failed you. Lord, I know I've been away for a while, but today I'm coming home. Today I'm coming back. Whatever prayer you need to pray, then you just come and you pour that out at the altar this morning. Maybe you're here today and you've been coming and visiting for a while. Maybe today is the day where you and your family have decided that you're going to join First Baptist Church. I don't know what God has laid on your heart today, but you know. And so whatever decision you need to make today, pray that you'd make that decision. Make it public. So we're going to all stand. I want to ask you to stand this morning as they begin to play and sing. Whatever God has laid on your heart, whatever decision you need to make, would you come today?